Okay. EA 12-174592 DA, it's a new apartment building. Kara Fioravanti is our planner. The applicant's Dustin White from GBD Architects. The address is 300 Northeast Multnomah Avenue. Welcome, everybody. Kara, take it away.
Thanks. Before I start, I just want to make sure you all have paper copies of an email you got last week, I believe. First, you got paper copies couriered to you, and the proposal changed slightly, and I emailed you. So if you didn't print it out, we could get you copies. You'll have
a site plan, right?
It was a site plan and a memo. If you'd like it, just let me know. So not that far away from where we just were at MLK Multnomah, there's a proposal for an apartment building. This is the site in the Lloyd District, and I think primarily we'll be focusing on site planning and super block discussion as well with this one. But to begin, the zoning is CXD, which is central commercial with design overlay. The building would be subject to a Type 3 design review. Approval criteria are the fundamental design guidelines and the Lloyd District design guidelines. Here we see the site. This is Multnomah. This is MLK, and this is Holiday. Holiday is the MAX line. MLK is one way south, a major thoroughfare through Lloyd District. This is Burgerville, just to orient some of you or all of you, which will remain. The rest of the block will be redeveloped in phases. Disregard the lots you see in the zoning map. The various owners are in the process of going through a lot consolidation, property line adjustment. So the other plans you see are more realistic to future future lots, which we see here. And like I mentioned, today's from the applicant's request, today's focus is going to be primarily on the ground level plane, the site plan, the programming, the super block regulations. The regulations we just talked about quite a bit are applicable to the site as well. And then the way the regulations are for this particular situation with multiple owners is that the future phases with regard to super blocks need to respond to prior phases. So the way we look at this is that the open spaces created with this first phase are truly setting the stage for the rest of this block, in that these guys need to integrate. I think the word used in the code is integrate with what's set prior. So we should at least start a discussion so staff and the audience hear what you hope to see next time when that happens. So to show ownerships, the blue is what we're looking at today. They plan to develop this portion of the site and actually do a full build out of the private drive, not just the center line. They own to the center line, but they'll build a full private drive. It's a six-story apartment building with 179 residential uses, ground level retail. There'll be underground parking. The parking entrance is from Multnomah, approximately this location. There's a mid-block private drive, which we see here with this turnaround. It'll really look and feel like a street. It'll have on-street parking for 16 spaces. And as I mentioned, it's a multi-phase development proposal. Not that Rembolt's going to be doing the other phases, but this is phase one. And this shows what the site used to have with regard to public streets. And as you can recall from the prior case, the code says that the connections are reestablished generally in the prior location. So they're definitely reconnecting back east-west, and then not really north-south because they don't own the portions to the south, but reconnecting the streets generally in the similar locations. And I won't go over the purpose statement. I think we've talked about it quite a bit. I think you know it well, but I'm happy to go into it further if need be later on. I did pull out a few design guidelines to consider. With regard to super blocks in particular, Lloyd District has quite a few, so there are guidelines that really talk about what the expectations are. So I'll read through those. A31, provide and support a convenient pedestrian linkage through the superblocks between Convention Center and Lloyd Center. A32, make superblock plazas and spaces and superblocks fronting on Holiday Street, inviting and easily accessible from Holiday. I do mention, obviously, Rembolt doesn't own fronting on Holiday, so this guideline is more applicable to the conversation that you might have for future expectations. Public spaces should be visually connected to Holiday. Public-private spaces are also encouraged to be visually connected with adjacent public improvements. A51, encourage the inclusion of features in the design of projects that give projects identity and a sense of place or significance within the district. And I think the private drive is definitely has a potential to be that special place that this guideline is talking about. And then A57, integrate the Civic Campus into the Lloyd District in a manner that provides a cohesive link westerly to the river and easterly to the core of the Lloyd District. And I printed these out for you if you needed to refer to those later. So quickly, the site sits just north of the Convention Center with their generous plazas along Holiday Street, which is the main MAX alignment. The site goes from 2nd all the way to MLK, and the building would sit about here. This is a Starbucks that would go away. Obviously, a portion of this building, well, the whole building would go away. So going around Burgerville. PDC owns this portion here that they kind of have this interim landscape treatment until development happens. And then further over, there's a couple buildings that would go away with the future developments. I'll quickly take you around the site. This is MLK in Multnomah, so the new building would be here. There's an apartment building directly across Multnomah to the north of the site. Going a little bit south and then turning around looking north, here's Burgerville, the apartments, and then the new building would be back here. Burgerville has their surface parking along Multnomah and MLK. This is where Haslow used to go through. So this is that Starbucks that would go away, and the apartment building would sit here and wrap around. See the Rose Garden and the Convention Center beyond. At the intersection of Holiday and MLK, this is kind of a banquet facility building that fronts the MAX line. The apartment building would be back here. This is at 3rd. So again, apartment building back here. It's not a public street. It's access into the surface parking. At 2nd, where the site, this is the southwest corner of the larger site, 2nd and Holiday, looking toward where the apartment building would be. And then going around to Multnomah to give you a sense of the apartment building across the street and the streetscape. So I'm going to end here because I do know the applicant's presentation walks you step by step through the code and gives you all the math. I didn't want to be redundant. It's very nice and clear. The standards are met except for the one standard that says the required plaza, which is shown here in red. Its ratio of length to width can't exceed 3:1, and it's odd shape, so the math is kind of strange, but that would potentially be a modification for the plaza area. The yellow and the green are the required landscape and pathway connections, but all the numbers are met. It's not a modification with regard to the standards required. So some discussion topics that I put in the memos from last week, focus on the superblock regulations with an expectation that there'll be a modification to that ratio for the plaza. Talking about future developments, the requirement 060B, which describes that future open spaces need to integrate with prior open spaces. So just a discussion on how this plan will influence future development and expectations for that development. The first floor plan layout, the entrances and programming, and then I think we'll have a little presentation on the buildings today that we're seeing in these packets. There's anticipated end wall that we always have good conversation on with design review, so I put that in there, assuming we'd have some extent of end wall that I think we'll see for a while, given Burgerville's probably there to stay. So that's the end of my presentation. I can answer questions if you have.
Are there questions of Kara?
Any pedestrian bridges?
The city stayed away from this one.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thanks very much. I'm Phil Bile with GBD Architects, address 1120 Northwest Cooch, Suite 320. And I'll let my teammates here introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Craig Mendenhall, also with GBD Architects.
And I'm Callie Bader with Rumble Properties.
So we also have available to make comments and testify if necessary, representative from the property owner to the south of the subject property. It's not part of this project, but obviously impacted by it. You're getting a drinking out of a fire hose on super blocks this evening. We're happy to participate in that. We're not going to repeat what Kara's already gone through on site overview. She did a good job of describing the kind of unique characteristics of the site, and obviously it's a unique geometry that begins to impact and inform what goes on top of it. So we're going to jump into the definitions or the various characteristics of the site that impact the open space discussion and how we've made the calculations and how we've responded to the requirements. As Kara said, we have complied with all of the required areas, and we think that the solution is a completely compliant solution, but perhaps with a tweak, and it's that tweak that I think that we want to chat a little bit about tonight and get your concurrence on. What is interesting about this site versus the previous case that you were listening to is that there are multiple ownerships. And the first one out of the chute, of course, is the project that we're putting in front of you, which is the Rembold property shown in blue. We don't have specific information to offer up as to when the other sites might get developed. It's unlikely that the Powell site with the Burger King is going to be redeveloped anytime soon. Probably the sites to the south would be a much more unified approach, however, to a subsequent phase of development.
Phil, I'm sorry.
Sure.
Back up to one more to the site.
Mm-hmm. You can see very clearly that we are street challenged. The primary frontage that we do have is on Multnomah. The longest frontage that we have is on Multnomah, which is a multi-lane, very heavily trafficked street. And so the insertion of the new private street on the south side of the building is obviously very critical to our project succeeding and sets itself up well, as what we believe, into making the projects to the south also be very successful. Kara mentioned that it is destined, as has the possibility, to be a very, very interesting and dynamic public space, and we fully expect it to be exactly that. And so that's really the primary reason why we've kind of configured the open space the way that we have. But back to the calculations quickly. If you add up all the square footage of the streets that were vacated, it's 36,739. Our super block is not as big as what a traditional super block is because of what the street structure, so we're at 185,000 square feet total. Kara described the intent of the super block and the openings that are asked for, the open spaces that are asked for, is again to promote a pleasant and convenient walkway and open space system on the super block that links to the adjacent buildings, the public circulation systems, and any available public transit. But as important, we think, as a requirement, also promotes the maintenance of light, air, and access that could be lost due to development on the vacated street. So I think what you'll be seeing in our proposals that we're not only providing a response that provides the compliant square footage, but we're going above and beyond by providing that private street in there, which doesn't necessarily, or actually the code criteria for calculations doesn't count it. So we'll bear that, and we'll come back to that in just a moment. Because we are under multiple ownerships, you measure it a little bit differently. Each ownership will provide walkways, landscaped areas, and plazas based on that ownership's percentage of the total vacated street area. So we have that calculation. The Rembold property is worth exactly 35% of the total amount of vacated street. So that's the amount of vacated street that crosses over the top of their property. It's interesting that it isn't a direct pro rata kind of allocation. We happen to have, I think, perhaps a higher percentage of vacated street overlay in our site than the others do, but nonetheless, that's the way the code describes to calculate it. So we use that 35% in moving forward. The total amount of walkways, landscapes, and areas and plaza requirements has got to be equal to 50% of the vacated street. So if that was 36,739, the total for the site at 50% is about 18,370 square feet. When you apply our pro rata 35% to that, we're responsible for providing 6,430 square feet of the combination of plaza, open plaza, and other related open spaces. To go a little bit further and speak specifically about the plaza is, the size of the plaza is, or plazas, I should say, is determined by a calculation that is 5% of the super block land area. So if you take 5% of the 185,000 square feet, that says the plazas collectively need to amount to 9,270 square feet. We again take our pro rata share of that as the amount that we need to provide with our development, and that is a number of 3,245 square feet. So that 3,245 is clearly a part of the 6,430. It's not additive. So obviously we'll be using the larger number, but yet complying with both of those numbers in the proposed solution. And you have in front of you the site plans and some early elevation studies, which we can chat or walk through in just a moment. But this illustrates the list of calculations that go into the proposed solution specific to our block, Block A. So we have in yellow a grand total of 2,384 square feet of walkway areas. And those are defined as to what they need to be in the super block criteria. We have roughly 400 square feet of landscape area, which are directly associated with those walkway areas. And then we have what we are calling the plaza, which is this enlarged, contiguous, integrated open space that fronts and match and runs right up to the face of the building that is actually providing about 4,643 square feet of plaza area. And that's that area in red is the area that we're designating as compliant with the plaza requirement. That's far more than what we're required to do. It's about 1,300, almost 1,400 square feet larger than what we would be required to do to be compliant with the code. But if you look at the totals here, we're providing a total of 7,427 square feet of combination walkways, landscapes, and plaza areas in this proposed configuration. Again, doesn't count any of the square footage of our private drive. If we were to add that private drive square footage to that calculation, the private drive is worth about 14,000 square feet collectively. Then we would have, what is that, about 21,000 square feet of open space that is obviously larger than the entire requirement for open space, lands, walkways for the entire site. So bear that in mind. We are not only compliant with this proposal, but this this private street as well pushes up way over the requirement for the entire super block. The question of what is a plaza comes into play here. There is a definition, which is up on the board here, that is largely hardscaped, but it's obviously a people space loaded with amenities such as seating, drinking, and ornamental fountains, art, trees, landscaping for use by pedestrians, all spaces that we think work perfectly immediately outside the storefront or ground level of the face of the building. And we'll show you a couple of examples of that in just a moment. The issue that we struggle a little bit with is the ratio requirement, which says that the ratio of the length to the width of a plaza in a super block can't exceed 3:1. And so this is an early visual of what we're contemplating this plaza space to be. Again, it's not separated from open walkways or landscaped areas. It's a highly integrated, cohesive solution that we think is a better solution than to separately identify a plaza that would be on the property. And when Craig takes you through the floor plans of the building, you'll understand a little bit more about why we did that. The 3:1 calculation here, if we are allowed the ability to look at the notion of plazas instead of plaza, we can clearly comply with that. This plaza, Plaza A, is 28 by 71. We're under the ratio. Plaza B, similarly, we're under the ratio. Plaza C, we're similarly under the ratio. And given that we're connecting these spaces and making them contiguous with the interior the active spaces on the ground floor, we think this is a reasonable way to interpret that requirement and to seek minimally a modification if we need to seek a modification, or perhaps get your concurrence that this is a reasonable way to interpret it, period. That is really the gist of what we're hoping to get some response back from you folks on tonight, which is to understand that we're compliant with all of the areas. Obviously, the placement and configuration is highly impactful for our overall plan or about how the building sits on the site. We think it's a terrific solution, but we obviously want to clear that with you guys at an early stage. We can easily march through some images of the building and the floor plans if you'd like to see those before we ask questions, or we can defer that and save that to later. We actually hadn't intended to do a DAR on the elevational, the three-dimensional aspects of the building yet.
Oh, okay.
We thought we were going to do that just with the design review hearing, but we're happy to give you a briefing on that if you'd like to take the time to do that now.
I'm going to ask my fellow commissioners, do you want to see the whole building, or?
Well, from my opinion, we would be interested to see more because the plaza is a beautiful part of the building. And that's a beautiful part of it.
Okay. We'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe just the gross moves, and we can talk about the fire details.
Floor. Yeah, why don't you start at the ground floor? So just, this doesn't have the site plan on it, but I'll quickly run through how the building is organized. The teal colored area there represents our retail / restaurant area. Within the plan, given our street configuration on 3rd and Haslow, and where Haslow intersects with MLK, those seem to be the ideal locations to locate that active or restaurant retail use within the site. We are anticipating Starbucks or similarly a coffee shop on MLK and potentially restaurant area on the other corner. So I'm spacing out on the street that's to the north. Multnomah, yeah. Okay, on Multnomah, that's where we are aligning our parking entrance. And this is centered red. And this is centered on the street directly adjacent where we are accessing our parking. We have about 18 parking stalls on the ground level for retail use that then connects back down to Haslow to the south. And there would be a private ramp taking you down for residential parking off of that parking garage, which is about another 83 parking stalls down in the basement. Where the plaza comes into play is on Haslow, where we're looking at a highly pedestrian-oriented street, where we are far exceeding our glazing requirement. And off of that is the entry into the residential lobby, where we would have our leasing area off of a small stoop height area that connects directly to that plaza. From there, you can connect to the garage and or, you know, the elevator to get up into your unit. Next floor plan. So this would be a typical floor plan. We have about 180 apartment units in our scheme, and they all wrap around they all front the street, are the streets on each side, and wrap around a public, not public, but private amenity deck on the second floor in which we are double loading the units, and they look into the interior and over the top of Burgerville, which is directly behind the site. You go to the next plan there. Just to give you a quick overview of some of the materials that we are exploring, we're looking at, I'll give you a quick massing rundown first, which is that given the kind of shorter stature of, you know, it's a 5/1 project, and given that there's a lot of taller buildings in the near proximity, we're looking at potentially creating a massing that it suggests that there are three buildings that interlock with one another on the site to create a little more interest there. We're exploring a product called Resista, which I think you guys have seen before. It came through on the Moody project that Zidells are doing down the south waterfront. And it's a material that's made of rice and mimics wood. There's a precedent image down in the bottom right-hand corner where you're looking at a project that is, in fact, wood, but it's more different stains of cedar that play off of one another. So we're looking at kind of using that juxtaposition of material colors and using them and integrating them around the building for these masses as they interlock with one another. In the design guidelines, there's a suggestion of using brick. Brick isn't a material that we've explored just given our budget considerations up to this point, but we are looking at integrating multiple colors of that Resista product throughout these facades to give that eclectic coloration throughout the facade.
The raised patio area is being counted in the whole building space, the raised portion.
Yes. Yeah, we have the retail restaurant area down here. There's a large canopy that extends over the top of that. From the sidewalk or edge of sidewalk in to where the storefront for the restaurant exists is about 20 feet, 20 to 24 feet, I believe, that Phil just went through in that diagram. So it's enough for a double row of seating up on the stoop height level area as well as a row of seating down on the sidewalk level potentially. Yes, this is part of the restaurant component, likely.
So it's open area in the front?
Open area directly off the front of the restaurant. It's in the calculations of the plaza area.
It can't be considered a private space. In other words, it's publicly accessible. It is private property, but it's publicly accessible, just like the street would be. Now, would they control access if they were serving a meal? Absolutely, they would. But it's not private space that is not accessible to pedestrians who are wandering through that space, that open area.
I'm just trying to understand that.
I think, you know, maybe you can chime in on tenant prospects. We don't have a tenant yet.
Right, yeah.
So those questions are difficult to
but
answer.
But it does look private. I think it'll always be private. The way it's designed, it'll always be private. Looks like
private. I wonder, that was my question was, you know, there's you need a permit to use the city sidewalk to seat people, right? To have outdoor seating, one must get some sort of permit.
Yeah, there's just
so I don't know if that's something that would this project would be forced to do. The other thing I'm thinking about, and this isn't a park, I recognize this isn't a park, but Director Park, you know, has the Violetta in it, and they have seating, but anyone can use the seating, in theory, and really in practice. So, anyway, keep going.
Yeah, these are all new criteria, obviously, mm-hmm. that come along with the super block. So, good questions.
Yeah. The location of that seating area is, you know, in the sight line as though you were walking up, you know, from the convention center into that, the intersection of Haslow and 3rd. So I'm going to hit the next button there. This is just a pedestrian view of that view that I just suggested, looking back towards the restaurant area and the slightly elevated residential lobby area off of Haslow as well. And this would be in the elevation of Haslow as it meets MLK on the corner where we'd be the small Starbucks building would go away as a part of this project, and we'd be reallocating that minimally that amount of square footage of retail space back into the building on MLK and Haslow, shown in this image. And then that building that is on MLK and Haslow, we are looking at a design aesthetic that suggests that it would be potentially a separate building with some similarities in the material aesthetic. So we're looking at kind of reapplying some of the similar materials in a different way on that corner. So. And that's it.
I think you can tell from the past two images and this one specifically that the intent of that private street is to calm the street down and provide a space where both vehicles and pedestrians can intermix with one another to give us a great chance of making sure that those ground level active uses can in fact be successful, because people can get to them and they can see them both in vehicles and by foot. We do at this point expect for that street to match Lloyd District street standards, even though it is a private street. We need to maintain it as a private street because there's a possibility that ultimately there will be some parking underground that would go along with the project next door. So we need to maintain the flexibility to be able to accommodate that rather than dedicate it to the city.
Okay, questions?
Bill, do you have a view? Do you have this view?
The PowerPoint?
On Multnomah?
First page.
The very first page of the PowerPoint?
One more. And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that, I'm looking at the plan, and it looks like where that entrance is, I'm just seeing if something's been adjusted at some point. That one looks like it has a lot more kind of surface area to the kind of where the garage door is of the kind of blank wall and what looks like might happen on the plan. Is that, or is this pretty accurate?
The image, I mean, granted, it's an artistic.
Sure.
You know, there's some artistic license here. But the building does fold. It folds in about 8 feet from the property line.
But where the amount of kind of gray kind of siding with the door in it.
I think you need to trust the floor plan the limits of solid versus.
Yeah, it's over 50%.
And that's the same material that's kind of resist the stuff, maybe.
That is, we're showing a board form concrete.
Okay.
Front part.
Okay. Other questions?
So with the road, with the private roadway, like you say, if you attribute that to the required open space, that far exceeds.
It does.
Yeah.
So the ABC are all in addition to that, so they're not even necessary?
It is. The combination of ABC exceeds the requirement for the total surface area of plaza.
It has to be plaza.
By about 1,400 square feet, I had that.
Yeah,
14.
I think it was
1,400 square feet. So it's just under 1,400 square feet larger than we're required to have. The geometry of it is arguably not compliant with a 3-to-1 ratio if you try and somehow measure that shape, that amorphous shape, in a 3-to-1 sort of capacity. So that's why we broke it down into three separate spaces to otherwise describe how it might be measured.
But I don't think the private street could be considered plaza. It's not the
no.
same.
No.
It can't. I mean, that's why it's not shaded in any way or part of any of these calculations, because the definition of walkway and definition of plaza does not include vehicular area. So it's just fully excluded. It's there, and it's providing air, light, separation, all the good stuff, but... We could acknowledge there's a lot of separation, but we can't add it to the calculations.
This is a trivia question.
Do you know when the super block was written, when that section of the code was written?
I do. 1991.
Okay. Was there some precedent that was in people's minds when they were writing this thing? Or what the intent, it's beyond me what the intent of that is. I just can't figure it out. The plaza component?
The plaza.
Can you shed any light on that?
I can't. No. I mean, I'm with you. I get all the connections and throughways. But the plaza, especially because they also include atrium as meeting it as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely understand that we can't count the surface area of the private street. I only point it out because of how contiguous it is with the other open spaces, and if one of the intents of the superblock language is to make sure that we provide open space, access to air and light in a capacity comparable to what used to be there when the right-of-ways were there, we're responsible for that.
Any more questions?
Oh, go ahead.
I think when I read the intent of that, of the plazas, which they're trying to describe first are connections, that they're going to want to have desires for connections, and then the plazas are kind of a placeholder for people to be able to pause or stop or be,
within that so that it's not just a 12-foot wide swath of sidewalk with nowhere to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm guessing.
It's such
a tiny area.
And, Kara, am I correct in saying that there's so much concern about how the connections might be made, that they might be enclosed with by a building, or that they might, you know, that they could be almost anything that the plaza thing forces?
More generous space. Yeah. I mean, I think they aimed low with the 12-foot. If they went bigger with a width for a meaningful corridor, they might not have felt compelled for more, frankly, but... yeah, I mean, if people met the minimum, it wouldn't be a very nice connection for a lot of situations.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get at why they might have had plaza in there,
yeah.
You know, as a word in the code, as a requirement to have a broader, a 3-to-1 ratio sort of space within this thing. Other than, all I can imagine is that there was some little precedent in town or something that they were writing this thing around at the time. That they were thinking that was a good way to deal with this.
Yeah, we could certainly dig. I know that
it seems
there
very
are
antiquated
who will know.
And
yeah.
sort of like an old way of thinking about how to make good active urban space that we have since come a long way from,
right.
And are actually now trying to like fix. Which that if 91, that's why I was asking 91. I mean, it sounds like the 91. In 91, there was an effort to understand what they were going to do with these things, right?
Yeah.
With this big error from the 70s.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting in this case, I think it is improving. If those ABC weren't there, that would just...
Yes. Right.
It is helping this outcome. It's kind
of... I think that's where I was going, is that the plaza, to me, if you have a connector and then you have a plaza requirement, it creates a node or a place to be along that thing, and I feel like this is meeting the code. I mean, I feel, frankly, the kind of machinations, I very much appreciate the effort to try and see how you would apply this kind of antiquated, poorly conceived component of it.
It's creative.
I wish the last applicant had stuck around.
Like, thank you for doing that. But I'm almost embarrassed by them having to do that to kind of demonstrate. I mean, it seems more like the intent there is to just provide a place for people to be able to be on the edges of this thing. And this is way better than any kind of little pocket thing where people could hide out, you know, within this whole thing. So I think it's handily, I mean, it's a huge, if it were a modification, which I don't even know if this would be a modification, because I think this argument holds up as well, that it could be a series of plazas, and that a series of plazas is even better than sort of one in the middle of something long.
Right.
That, I don't know, if it were a modification, I think it'd be hands down easy to approve, and it's just kind of a signal for needing to kind of rewrite that part of the code.
How did you segregate those ABCs? Are there level changes between those spaces?
No, not necessarily. It's more where there's some contiguous geometry. It's where we could draw a rectangle.
Right.
And within those rectangles, there are some elevation changes, certainly. Are they final? No, they're not even close to being final, but they're first thoughts at how we're addressing the different floor levels. And what I really like about them is how they engage the major entrances into the buildings.
Sure.
You know, that's where the activity is. People want to be seen where people collect, and to have the occupants of the building spill out onto the plaza as their first experience, couldn't be better.
Is that a dimension where the purple section of that overlay is? Is that the canopy, or is that the actual building interior square footage?
No, we actually have recently moved that wall back
like door,
to that dimension.
The door is shown at that
end. Right, that's the current dimension, which is more current than this plan was drawn.
Yeah, it looks like the real wall is back here. Oops.
Yeah, where the dotted line is.
If I could hold this.
That's the exterior wall.
Yes.
And the other line by the A would be the canopy line.
It's old.
It's old. Yeah.
So I'm getting a lot of yep, yep, yep from you on what Dave was saying, and it sounds like you're there. I mean, do you beg to differ on what Dave was saying about just that this is an okay approach to the whole plaza super block? There we go. I'm all there too. So, do we have any comments on the building? Unless there's more to talk about this.
Not to belabor, but I'm a little confused about the public-private.
Right.
Is that, if it's private, is that still abiding by the, is A still in the?
So the code refers to all of these as public plazas, public atriums, public walkways. And then it goes on to say the walkways will have a public access easement. It doesn't say how the plazas and atriums function or mandated or managed.
Doesn't distinguish that the plazas require the public access.
No, it doesn't say. It does refer everywhere. It says plaza. It says public plaza.
Okay. Right.
But there's not. So there's not a lot of guidance necessarily.
But the term public is freighted with meaning.
People
can, open.
Yeah. Anyone
to the public.
Anyone can. Right.
Right. So.
But the easement would only be over walkways.
I find the whole intent of it rather confusing, because what they're really trying to do is make connections through these blocks, reestablish connections. And you can have a fantastic connection that has no plaza on it, right? I mean, you can have a very active kind of street frontage that had, you know, that was just really well designed with interactive, you know, a kind of blurred edge between what's private and public. And this is clearly, I mean, that would be a great street to sort of walk along. And there's something about trying to fit it into the box of that code that feels really disingenuous.
Can we make this a retreat item, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, for today's purposes, we have some code to work with. And we have a team that did something kind of fun with it.
I think this better meets the intent of the code. I think there's an argument that this better meets the intent of the code.
Right.
Than a kind of, yeah.
A square box.
Mm-hmm.
Off the edge of the sidewalk.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, if I guess where I'm actually having the breakdown is understanding the role of public plaza in connection.
Okay.
You know, or breakdown in the super block. So it's a kind of a fundamental.
I hear you.
Maybe but it's not okay for me to question.
No, it's totally okay for you to question, but I'm saying in the context of tonight's design review or design advice.
So really all you're asking us for is
does this work?
The interpretation of the
right.
Ratio.
This archaic,
so
right.
That's your sole question for tonight.
All right.
That's what it really boils down to. If the interpretation can't be supported, then we need
to... So the primary question that we're charged to answer tonight is, does the ABC equation float with us?
And I think the key to it, frankly, that might be a sticking point is if it's not fully, if it's not a public easement,
yeah.
Right?
And so, Director Clark, if you sit in those chairs that are up by
anyone can.
Anyone
you
can
don't have to
chairs.
Be a patron.
I think that argument is a lot more palatable if those spaces have something that distinguishes them individually from each other in a level change, a finish, a treatment, a bordering somehow, where you're moving from a space to a space, a room to a room, then that I think that kind of really hammers that nail in terms of the way you're framing this.
Mm-hmm.
Interpretation. If they're all contiguous, one surface or one space, really, I mean, framed by walls and a single level of pavement, I arguably it's debatable. And I'd say they're not necessarily separate spaces with dimensional criteria that could be argued as not 3-to-1 or as more than 3-to-1 or, you know. So I think maybe considering how can you build on this idea by creating separate rooms all within that same workable area.
Well, I'd want to be careful that we don't force the discussion to be focused on those three volumes. If the change in elevation is going to define whether or not those are acceptable or not, we've got a lot of topography change here to wrestle with. And so there are going to be changes in floor level that will begin to make some definition of those exterior rooms, like you're describing.
Plus, just to not to get in the weeds here too much, but I think arguably the 3-to-1 is in there to prevent you from calling a foot. You know, if you widen your sidewalk walks
exactly.
by a foot and have it 200 feet long,
yeah.
It's not going to let you call that a plaza, right? Because it's not going to accomplish the intent.
Yeah.
So that 3-to-1 is trying to say, no, you've got to actually have it be something occupiable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's sort of maybe, because I honestly, you could line up
there's no minimum dimension for plaza, I don't think.
No.
So you could essentially take a sidewalk, you could line up 3 foot by 3 foot by 9 foot rectangles like all day and line them up and make a street. So I appreciate the effort here, but I don't think it like rationally necessarily holds up and doesn't need to. Like I think the modification that you might ask for is instead of a pocket along this thing, we're widening the entire piece of it and activating it and making it wide enough for people to be, which is meeting the intent of the code in a better way.
Right.
Versus having to try and machinate, I mean, this is a mathematical try and break, argument more than it is a spatial definition, I think. And to their credit, trying to understand how you could, do it. Because I think intuitively we all understand this is a good thing to do in here.
Right.
But I think the more pressing question is Ben's, and Kara, you added some insight to it of, is it okay that some of this is within the private realm versus, mm-hmm. or understanding that part of it seems like a little bit of the crux.
I agree with Jess. I think it's much better with the level changes than just all the sidewalks and taking scattered points mm-hmm. across the graded sidewalk. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious what's successful about the English Park and why this would succeed mm-hmm. is that people felt comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it just turned into private space and there's menus on every table all the way out to the end of the sidewalk, it won't succeed and you won't pause there unless you want to sit down. At 12 o'clock. So I guess that, if the intent is to pause in these plazas, then it does become kind of important what it's treated as. So I'm not mm-hmm. sure what the tenet is, where Director's Park works both ways.
Well, it may be that part of the solution is to identify where we might have kind of these structured planes that would be adjoining a retail space, that would be restaurant space, for example, and demonstrate how that's above and beyond what our minimum plaza area is. Remember, we're 1,400
yeah,
square
true.
Feet over
right.
where
that's
we
right.
need to be.
So you might get
and it's still contiguous with the outside space, but it may go a little bit more private than you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that came to mind in that context is that even if your study says that tenant's going to require that much square footage elevated for their dedicated seating for their establishment, you still have other space on this site, it seems, to cobble some other public plaza spaces together, maybe even at the corner out there. So, glasses at home tonight, so I'm having trouble here with me on 2nd Avenue at the corner of 2nd, and your new street there. You've got a corner intersection, and it seems like you might have some other area where you could
see overall
segment. Horse trade space.
You're talking about up here?
No, that down.
Down here? Down here.
Out here in that corner.
Oh, I see. To carve out that corner a little bit.
Carve out some little space. I mean, if you somehow you determine that the restaurant tour needs 1,800 square feet, well, now you're at a deficit of 400 square feet of plaza.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow the interpretation comes down that, well, that 1,800 square feet does not count towards your 5%.
Well, I think we would be.
Like there might be some options on the site to cobble out. Pieces to make that work.
All the more reason to hopefully get some better definition of that. Can it be some kind of private, or mm-hmm. does it?
Yeah.
It just what does it mean? Because we've got obviously the adjoining property owners got a lot of frontage across the private streets from us to consider that same criteria.
Yep.
And as we finalize the layout of the ground floor, obviously that would have be helpful.
Yep.
Are you guys doing the whole thing?
No, we're just working on this parcel.
We haven't done any work on the south parcel.
We have not.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
It's beautiful space. It's extremely creative complication of language. I don't know that we can argue based on the way the code's written that there is a distinction between private, public versus
right.
When
when you read the part of the code that describes easements on the sidewalks for public access, but doesn't define a requirement of the plaza.
For the plaza, right. Right.
Will, are there any bits of concern that came up over looking at the images? I mean, the applicant said they weren't necessarily going to put the building in front of us, but since they're here and you have the pictures.
Just take whatever information you can. I had a question about, I think, had you considered at any point, because of how busy Multnomah is, vehicle access sort of within the sort of side street?
Yeah, at one point we had our loading on Multnomah and our, you know, trash and all access for our garbage trucks and things like that. And we, through this process, we have moved that interior. So we have kind of moved that handling off of Multnomah, given how busy it is. And we also have made an effort to be sure that we aligned our parking entrance with the street across the way so that we have a clean intersection there. But.
So you guys feel pretty comfortable about that parking entrance? You know, be there for the traffic point?
Yeah, I mean, I personally do.
And the slope of the site makes it difficult to put it down.
Right.
You're kind of coming in at the wrong level. If we made it,
if you're entering from the view of the interior screen that you're creating, you're going to be too high or too low.
Too low.
Yeah, the slope allows us to get that taller retail function down on the lower part of the site. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it is a right in, right out, though, right?
It's going
to
happen.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it's interesting. In some ways, it's sort of the more challenging component to activate is the interior street because it is off. You know, it's the kind of new, interesting kind of thing you're making, but it also has this kind of, you want to do a lot of things to make sure it's successful. And so what the scheme does right now is it seems to, you know, focus its kind of retail storefrontage on those two spaces. It doesn't have a parking entrance on that kind of side street. But it does require a kind of chunk of Multnomah. And I think this rendering just makes it maybe look like more than what it actually will be.
It's the angles. So
I just think that's the kind of, when I look at it, that's one of the only concerns Multnomah is the street, you know, we've got now. And as far as activating that, you know, part of it, and minimizing the kind of garage entrance, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah.
Would be good to do. I totally buy. That's the other. We ran into this on a previous one this year about brick, having an exception brick. I mean, just around the corner from here, it's under construction right now along the highway. Mm-hmm. And I looked through what the other commissioners think, but I think in terms of materiality, this meets the kind of intention I think the neighborhood might have had of having kind of variety and visual, you know, variegation within the surface of things without necessarily having to be brick.
It wasn't, I guess I said, the code says, the design guideline says light colored masonry.
Yeah, it's just.
It's, which could be brick, it could be something else.
The volumes and the scale of buildings in this neighborhood and everything is pretty all over the board, and the idea of a textual and material binding them together seems far-fetched.
Yeah.
Or at least not far-fetched, but that to have an exception to it is sort of actually...
Well, again, why it's there is a mystery.
We've already approved something like that.
Yeah.
I think they're also brick, the longevity, right?
Yes.
Why was it only Lloyd Center that got that then? You know what I mean? It's so specific.
Built by and represent the same
thing. Yes. Right. My only other comment is I have two. One is the Burgerville wall, the wall that will be full height. I was really happy to see, I didn't realize that you were carving in everything above the second floor, kind of back in.
Yeah, you want
to. Is that right? To create that plaza? At the second level.
Go ahead and click.
I meant the outdoor.
Where are you talking about?
Like around
The first inch?
You don't have a view of it, I don't think.
No, it's the east.
Like, if you were looking at Burgerville, right, like what's behind Burgerville, and you don't have a seven-story wall behind Burgerville.
There you go.
Yeah. That's all open.
Yes, that's all open landscape.
So really the only full-height wall is that one with the stair.
Right.
Correct.
Right? And so I was just saying, looking at that, we'll be looking at that wall for a while, and really thinking about how that's, you know, what that party wall is made of, you know, when you come back in.
Yeah, we don't have an image of it today, but we've made an effort to make it an interesting part of the interlocking scheme.
Great. I'm sure you guys did. Mm-hmm. The very last comment is, I was very excited about this Resista product. It seemed like a panacea. And we recently learned that the primary component of it is actually PVC, which is bizarre. Mm-hmm. We were sort of really disappointed. So you might just do a little bit more research. Ask them where they make it and if it has any PVC in it. I think it's the binding agent.
Interesting.
So, and that it kind of undermined what seemed like a really great thing. So just take a gander.
There's emphasizing the rice.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I saw a diagram that was like, it was a percentage, it was a chart. It just said like 95% rice, 5% like corn canola oil. And I'm like, oh, great. Like, those are nice.
And it's a snack.
So somehow it's not everything we thought it was correct.
Wow.
But durable, and it seems durable, and it seems like it could meet this criteria, but I know how environmentally conscious, you know, your office is, that that we were concerned. Okay.
Okay, anyone have anything to add to what I feel like was a really mirror image of what I was going to say.
So, you know about the PVC thing?
Not the PVC, except for that part. That was news to me.
No, I do think it's a great direction. I like the variety in the ground floor. I like the radio plan and the road cutting through and it's good stuff.
Yeah. I like that the private drive really sets the rest of it up for success as well.
All right. Great.
Well, thank you very much. As usual, it's great help, and we really do appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for coming in. All right.